Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, on page 192 of the New Testament section of your pew Bible. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared to be our way of life. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. In today's scripture, Paul is writing to both Jew and Gentile. He is dark in the beginning of chapter 2, citing both as spiritually dead, following the desires of body and mind, both separated from God's redeeming love. In Paul's day, there were the Jews, and then there was everyone else, the Gentiles. As chapter 2 continues, the Jews look down on the Gentiles, calling them uncircumcised. This insult was a reminder that the Gentiles were not in the covenant of Abraham and not included in the blessings promised to him. The Gentiles were separated from Christ, God, hope, and promise. But that changes. If we had continued the reading today, verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." Once they were separated from Christ, now they are united with him. Once they were excluded, now they are included. They have hope. They have God through the death of Jesus Christ. The cross is the bridge between the chasm of these two distinct groups. That theme of separation and discord between those who share the same land and heritage is resonant throughout history and around the globe. The Protestants and the Catholics in Northern Ireland, the Israelis and the Palestinians, and in the history of our own United States, it is repeated continually from the Tea Party revolutionaries in Boston to the free and slaveholding states of the 1800s, to our racial divisions, our equality divisions, and divisions over our stands on social issues of the day. Pastor Dennis preached on fear of the other during his series on fear. And today, during this season of Lent, the others are now to be included, celebrated, and saved by the grace of God that saves us all. I came across this quote from John Lewis, civil rights leader and congressman from Georgia, that speaks to this: "To reconcile ourselves with one another, we must release our judgments and make peace with the fact that we are one. This country was founded on the ideal that we are all created equal. If we truly believe in the equality of mankind, how can we put down and belittle one another? How can we disrespect and prejudge one another? How can we get to the point where we malign and hate one another? The theme is reconciliation, the bridging of those who are different into a common goal that's expressed in our scripture reading. It is by grace that you have been saved, so that in the coming ages, God may show the incomparable riches of this grace. Reconciliation is not a word that I use much in my daily life or really ever in my life. I was trying to think, have I ever talked to anyone and used the word reconciliation? And I'm not really sure that I have. Reconciliation is the act of one's views or beliefs, of making one's views or beliefs compatible with another's. Restoration of friendly relations, returning to faith or harmony after a conflict. Perhaps the merging of two wholes into a bigger, better, stronger whole. When John Lewis participated in the march in Selma, Alabama, as a young 25-year-old in 1965, he was filmed at that march wearing an overcoat and with a backpack on. And I saw an interview with him recently where they showed clips of that historic march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And he was asked, what'd you have in that backpack that you brought that day? And he said when he packed it up, he had brought, among other things, a paperback, an apple, his toothbrush. Because you see, when he left his home that morning, he felt like he might be spending the night in jail and he wanted to be prepared. He'd reconciled himself to that fact. But he did so because he was part of a larger body acting out their truth in their actions. Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians while imprisoned in Rome. The short book provides a clear picture of the Christian life, with the first half focusing on beliefs and truths, and the second half on the practical application of those truths in our daily life. How to live and act as a follower of Jesus in a world with an endless array of distractions. To say our life is filled with conflicts, suspicions, anger, separation, temptation. It's as true in our current life today as it was for our ancestors. Our actions actually often create separations, both from God and from each other. Reconciliation is what God provides to that equation. It is through God and his sacrifice of his son, Jesus, that we have a glimpse into eternal life, the opportunity to have reconciliation with our Savior. God wants to reconcile us back to him, and we can be agents of reconciliation with another. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "All this is from God, through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." God's love is not a response. It's the beginning. It's the end. It surrounds and enfolds us. God's mercy and forgiveness is not prompted by our potential or any qualities that we might possess, but actually by our limitations. Divine grace was not bestowed on us because we are so worthy, but because of the goodness which is in God himself. The goodness is in the giver, not the recipient. Our unity is formed in working past differences to share in the glory of the resurrection. And we do this by doing good works, which God prepares us to do. We each hold a small piece that belongs just to us, that special gift, which equips us to be a minister, whether here at church, in our community, or across oceans, as Cheryl Gentle is doing as she joins with others worldwide in Jerusalem to put her faith into action. Does each piece connect perfectly with every other piece? No. But we all connect to some of the pieces. Do we understand what the entire picture will look like or the end result will be when all of our pieces are linked together? No, we probably don't. But that chain of goodness created by linking up with others, mixing our various strengths and talents with those whose backgrounds may be so different from our own, opens our hearts and minds to new possibilities and new ways to serve. I attended the music and arts concert. I didn't have them here at the first service a couple weeks ago. And music or singing is not one of my gifts. So I'm so humbled by the talent shared by so many talented instrumentalists and singers that we have in our congregation. But what I found this year, almost as moving and touching as the musical pieces, were the individuals that stood up. So they stood up and shared why they were called to share this gift or how they got involved in the particular ministry area that they served in. And that, some of it bearing of souls of how they felt called to share this gift they had was very moving and added a lot, I thought, to that evening. One of my favorite jobs has been as a volunteer coordinator for a nonprofit, 10,000 Villages, which was a fair trade store selling handicrafts of artisans made in third world countries. I had about 80 volunteers ranging in ages from 14 to 80. And it's an interesting thing. I've always been a volunteer, but not a paid position to coordinate volunteers. And an interesting thing about supervising people who are choosing to offer assistance without pay, it's different than your normal work environment because in a paid work environment, people are hired for a specific job in which they have specific job responsibilities. You don't have that kind of parameter in a volunteer setting. We had a variety of jobs available, and part of my job was, as I got to know each of our volunteers, was to help them see how they could best use their talents and strengths for the good of our organization. There were two older women, Jan and Fran, who had been best friends their entire adult life. They were great doing displays and merchandising, and they kind of owned that part of our organization. A lot of our high school students who volunteered were great with data entry and, of course, on the computer. Others were really great with customers. One woman came across as a bit of a complainer. A lot of people thought she was kind of whiny. But when I got past her communication style, what I learned was she had really good ideas that she wanted to share in order to make our organization better. There was another woman. She was always late for her shift. Usually because of her kind heart, she'd overcommitted herself and did not manage her time very well. A particular kind of aha moment for me was with a specific high school student. And when I was thinking about this example earlier, I was trying to think why it struck me the way it did. And what I realized was at the time I was supervising, you know, college students and juniors and seniors in high school, my own kids had not reached that age yet. So I didn't have any context in which to judge kind of older teenagers at that time. We had a lot of students from Judge Memorial High School where they have a community service requirement. The particular girl I was thinking about was not from Judge. She had kind of a punk dress, you know, had a little bit of a tough-looking exterior. But when I got to know her, I learned that her favorite subject was AP Biology. Advanced placement biology. She particularly was drawn to science and was considering that as a career. She was really interesting. She was smart. She didn't have a car or parents who drove her to our organization. She had to take the bus, which I think that was the bus to get to a volunteer location. And she became a dedicated and a valuable member of our team. What a fool I had been, I realized, to judge her based just on her exterior, and making assumptions about her before I even really got to know her as a person, and what gifts she could offer to our organization. Isn't that how God sees us? I mean, isn't he kind of the ultimate volunteer coordinator? Some of us come forth eager and passionate to serve. Others, somewhat half-heartedly, or maybe irregularly. But he sees into our heart and to our soul to coax out our best selves and use all of our gifts to further his kingdom. Did it matter that Kathy really didn't like volunteering with Errol or that my late arrival drove all of her fellow volunteers crazy with her tardiness? No. What matters is that they all came freely to share their gifts, unified in their support of this particular organization and its mission. I attended the meeting here held last month on the Sanctuary Church program. And if you don't know what that is, there's a nice article about it in this month's Hilltop Highlights newsletter. As a group, we were very obviously did not enter or exit the information meeting with the same outlook, ideas, or concerns. We had different perceptions, and we defined terminology differently. but it was a ministry opportunity that inspired 20-plus people to stay an additional 2 hours after church to learn about this opportunity and the way that our church could potentially be involved in it. Being part of a family or an organization or a church doesn't mean that we all believe the same thing, that we don't have the same lens through which we view the world, or have the same talents and gifts to develop and then hopefully share. Our diversity is what gives us strength. Our unity comes from our belief that we are here to serve, to share, and to be God's representatives here in this place. I hadn't read in great detail the book of Ephesians until the last couple of weeks. And I'd like to end today with a beautiful section of scripture, which is out of 1 Ephesians. So it kind of ends up connecting to the scripture that we read today. So this begins with verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.